Now, my subject this morning is salvation. That's a word that's used so frequently now. People talk about getting saved. I got saved. Come down and get saved. Now's the time for you to get saved. Well, that's my subject this morning, salvation, redemption. Eternal deliverance from the wrath of God, from the curse of the law, from the penalty of sin. Deliverance from bondage and condemnation. And there's no better scripture, there's no better picture of this great work to be found anywhere in the Bible than in the book of Exodus. So I want you to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 11 and chapter 12. Exodus 11, 12. Now, when I was preparing this message, I prayed for plainness, for simplicity, for the power of God to let me illustrate how God redeems sinful men. Now, before I read from these two chapters, let me give you the background a little bit. First of all, the Lord permitted Israel, His people, to go down into Egypt. He permitted that. There were only 70 of them at the time when they went down into Egypt. And for many years, they were treated quite favorably by Joseph, by those who knew Joseph, those who followed Joseph. And the people of God, Israel, multiplied rapidly in this country of Egypt. But soon a Pharaoh arose, the scripture said, who knew not Joseph. And he feared the people of Israel. There were so many of them. Estimates run anywhere from 2 to 5 million of them. He feared the people of Israel. He feared their God. And so he forced them into slavery, into a terrible, terrible bondage. Now here's the picture. Israel, the people of God, are in Egypt in bondage and slavery. Terrible conditions. And they were there for 400 years. And finally their cry went up to God. And the Lord God heard them. And the call went forth from God's servant Moses to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians, let my people go. Let them go. But this call was refused. When Moses came to Pharaoh and said, God said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, who's the Lord that I should obey him? I'll not let them go. And his heart was hardened. And after every plague, his heart was hardened a little more. And he added to the bondage and he added to the suffering of the people of God. Finally, God announced judgment. In Exodus 11, beginning with verse 4, listen to this. Exodus chapter 11, verse 4. So Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. I will. All my life I've heard about the death angel going through the land of Egypt. God didn't send a messenger on this mission. He came. He's going to deal with sinners. He's going to deal with rebels. I will. At midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt will die. Universal judgment. They'll all die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh, that sitteth upon his throne, even to the firstborn of the maidservant. that is behind the mill. And the firstborn of beast, the firstborn in Egypt, ever wanted I. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. God visiting the world in judgment. But thank God there was a covenant revealed. I tell you, it would do you well, and me, to go through the Bible and mark this little word, but. But. Here in verse 7, but. Oh, I tell you, over in the book of Ephesians, it talks about Ephesians chapter 2, what we were, what we are by birth and by nature and by practice and by choice. And it says, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, quickened us together with Christ. But God. And here, the land of Egypt, with all of its idolatry and rebellion and hardness of heart and corruption, and God said, I'm going to pass through. I'm coming through. At midnight, I'm coming through, and I'm going to destroy it. Death's going to reign. Death's going to touch the home, not only of the king, but that little old maid grinding corn down there behind the mill. I'm going to kill her child too. Even the cattle and beast on the hillside. I'm going to let men and beasts taste my wrath. But against any of the children of Israel, my people, mine elect, my chosen, my brethren, my jewels, call them what you will, my sheep. But against my children shall not even a dog move his tongue. Well, you talk about protection, provision. You talk about hedging them about. God says not only death's not going to touch them, but not even a cur dog going to bark at them. They're going to be so sheltered, so shielded, so hedged about, so protected, so kept, that not even a dog's going to move his tongue against man or beast. Even their dog's not going to be barked at. Not only them, not even their dogs. That you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Who put the difference? We are separated people. He separated you. I tell you, there's a difference in the believer and unbeliever. God made the difference. That's right. He put a difference. He made a difference. That's right. What have you got that you didn't receive? Who made you the difference? He said, I put a difference. I put a difference between them. I put a difference. And then in chapter 12, redemption is provided. Now here it is. God's going to visit in wrath. And you can just carry that out any way you want to. Past, present, and future. God's going to visit rebels in wrath. But against any of his children, not even a dog's going to move his tongue. God chose them. God loved them. God redeemed them. God set them apart. God made a difference between them and the heathen. And here's the way he redeems them. Now watch it. Exodus 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. Shall be the first month of the year to you. Now you speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying. Now my friends, will you listen to me just a minute? God chose Israel. God made the difference. But God gave them a gospel. God gave them something to believe. God gave them a message to be heard and to be heeded. That's right. God gave them an act of faith to perform. Right here. In other words, it's not, well, the elect's going to be saved no matter what. No, that's not it at all. Men are predestinated to heaven no matter what. Oh, no. There's going to be a lamb slain. There's going to be a sacrifice offered, and it's going to be faith exercised. That's right. All right. Now, you speak to them, and you tell them in the 10th day of the month, they'll take to them every man a lamb. Got to have a lamb. According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Everybody's got to have a lamb. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to the door into his house take it according to the number of souls. But every man, according to his eating, shall make your account for the lamb. And your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Take it from the sheep or from the goats. Keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take the blood. You do it now. You kill the lamb and you take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein thou shalt eat it. And thou shalt eat the flesh in that night, roast it with fire and unleavened bread. With bitter herbs thou shalt eat it. Don't eat it raw. Don't eat it mixed with water or gravy or anything else. Roast it with fire, his head, with his legs and with the pertness thereof. And let nothing of it remain until the morning. The whole lamb. Remain unto the morning. And that which remaineth of it unto the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, shoes on your feet, staff in your hands. Eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, man and beast, against all the gods and princes and idols and rulers of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now then, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When I see what? When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Brother Mann, what's that got to do with us? I see that. That's perfectly obvious. The condition existed. Slavery, bondage. The call went forth, let them go. The call was refused. I will not. Judgment announced. Destruction and death. But a covenant revealed. God says, my people, I put a difference. Not even a dog's going to bark at them. But now you take a lamb and kill it and put the blood on the side post in the door. And you'll be delivered. When I pass through, I'll pass over you. And that happens. What's that got to do with me? Well, there's several reasons why I know that it's got a whole lot to do with you and me. And the first reason is this. In this same chapter, Exodus 12. You there? You still at Exodus 12? Look at verse 24. God ordained this Passover feast. This kill the lamb, roast its body with fire, shed its blood, put it on the altar, eat the flesh. God ordained this to be kept. Every year at this particular time, the Passover feast, forever. On and on and on. Well, read it, verse 24. Exodus 12. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to your sons forever. Forever. This is the way of redemption forever. And it'll come to pass when you be come to the land which the Lord will give you according as he hath promised. You keep this service, this Passover service. And it come to pass when your children shall say to you, the boys and girls say, what are you doing? Why are you killing this lamb? Why are you roasting it with fire? Why are you putting the blood on the altar? Why are we eating this lamb? What does this mean? Then say to them,
It's the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, and he delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshiped.
So God said, keep this always. Well, Brother Mahan, where's our Passover? Where's the lamb, if it's to be kept forever?
I'm glad you asked.
Turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 7. Now, when Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, came into this world, he was born of a woman, born under the law. Born under the law, made under the law. A man subject to all these laws, rules, and regulations. He was circumcised when he was 8 days old. He went to the synagogue every Sabbath day. He kept the Sabbath day. He paid the tithes. He did all these things.
He even kept the Passover.
In Luke chapter 22, verse 7, then came the day of unleavened bread. Do you have it? Luke 22, 7. Please turn. Now, this is so vital. When the Passover must be killed. Now, this has been 2,000 years. And they're still killing that Passover. And our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the God-man, God himself in human flesh, is sitting down at a table observing the Passover.
He's a Jew. He's a man.
Verse 8, he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said to him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said, now behold, when you've entered into the city, and there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water, follow him into the house where he entereth in. And you shall say to the goodman of the house, the master said to you, where's your guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he'll show you a large upper room furnished, and there you make ready. And they went, and they found as he said to them, and they made ready the Passover. When the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, and he said to them, now listen, this is so important. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. This particular Passover.
Because, my friends, this is the last one. It's a new Passover from now on. This is the last one. Him whom the Passover pictured. The one whom the Passover represented. The one for whom the Passover stood till he came, now stood in their midst. Jesus Christ. That's right.
So listen. For I say unto you, verse 16, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said,
take this wine, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. He took bread and gave thanks and brake it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant, the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. We have a lamb to eat. It's Christ Jesus.
We have a lamb sacrificed and a lamb to feed upon. Eat my flesh, my body broken for you, and drink my blood. So when we come to the Lord's table, and we take the bread and take the wine. It's the blood of the Lamb. It's the body of the Lamb of God. And we take that bread and bless it and break it and eat it. This do in remembrance of him who died on the cross as our Passover lamb. You see that? All right, turn to 1 Corinthians 5:7. 1 Corinthians 5:7. We have a lamb. He's the Lamb of God. We have a Passover. He's the Son of God. We have blood shed and placed on the mercy seat. It's his blood on the mercy seat of glory. That's right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, listen. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. Don't go back to the old feast and holy days and sacrifices and tabernacle and Sabbath days and those things. And sacrifices, we have a lamb. Listen, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now turn back to Exodus 12. Exodus chapter 12. We're in bondage to sin, slavery. We need to be delivered, and we're delivered by Christ the Lamb. And Israel's deliverance from Egypt is a picture of our deliverance. Well, let me show you this. Exodus 12, verse 3. Speak ye unto the children, the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, thou shalt take every man a lamb. Do I have a lamb? John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I have a lamb. In Revelation chapter 5, it says, I saw in the midst of the throne a lamb as it had been slain. Isaiah said, he's led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. He opened not his mouth. Christ is my lamb. All right, down in verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish. When they went out to select the lamb to sacrifice for the Passover, it had to be a perfect lamb, not diseased. Not diseased. And my lamb is perfect. He knew no sin. He had no sin. It says a male of the first year in the prime of life. Don't get an old lamb about to die. Get a young lamb right in the prime of life. Christ our Lord died. He said, no man takes my life from me. He didn't die of old age. He was in the prime of life. He laid down his life. Verse 6, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day. They kept that lamb in a pen for 4 days and observed it and watched it to make sure that it met the requirements. And our Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, born of a woman, made under the law. He grew up in a home with a father and a mother. He had brothers and sisters. He lived exactly like you and I live. Exactly. He was tried in every point, in every stage. He was a teenager. He was a child. He was a young man. He worked as a carpenter. He suffered. He was tried and tested in every way. Tested by heaven, tested by demons, tested by the devil, tested by men, and tried in every point, and yet without sin. Perfect. He had to be perfect. He learned obedience for the things he suffered. Perfect. Not a blemish, not a spot. Absolute perfection. And then it says in verse 6, kill the lamb. Kill the lamb. In the evening, our Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross. The lamb was slain, and he shed his blood. Now then, it says in verse 7, and you take the blood, and you strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts wherein you shall eat it. And verse 13 says, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Have you a lamb? Have you a Passover? Have you a sacrifice? Have you a representative? Have you eaten his flesh and drunk his blood? Have you confessed him? Have you put the blood on the door? Have you before God said, this is my lamb, Christ is my lamb, Christ is my Passover, and come together with the people of God around the table and in an act of worship and say, God, this is my lamb? He's going to pass through. He said, I will pass through. And every home, everyone's going to feel the judgment and wrath. When God passed through the land in judgment that fearful night, the only thing that stood between Israel and death was the blood. When God passed through the land of Egypt in that dreadful, terrible night, the only thing that kept the judgment of God from falling upon the people of Israel was not that their houses were better built, not that their works were greater, the blood. God said, when I see the blood, I pass over you. And I declare unto you, all that stands between this center right here, and eternal death is the blood of Christ. not my preaching, not my religion, not my baptism, not my works, not my... I don't have anything before God but the blood. On the door of this heart is the blood. On the forehead of the sinner is the blood. On the mercy seat of glory before a holy God is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's what this book says. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now let me close and give you four things. Remember these four things. First of all, the blood that was accepted was the blood of a divinely appointed lamb. Just any lamb won't do. God didn't leave the way of deliverance up to Israel. And I know a lot of people think, well, Brother Mann, it doesn't matter how you come to God just so you're sincere. You don't really believe that, do you? What if a father in Israel listened to Moses say, take the blood and put the blood on the doorpost. And he says, well, you know, that's all right for you, Baptist, or you Methodist, or you somebody else. But I believe as long as a man's sincere, I believe if I put some flowers around the door, you know, blood doesn't look very good. Blood is a distasteful thing. I mean, don't talk about blood. Blood is, you know, this is a modern generation. And if we'll just put us a basketball goal for the children and some flowers around the door, or maybe have a dinner, a potluck dinner, and everybody brings what they want, and, you know, just sincere. That's what counts. It's not what counts. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. I'm telling you. It's a divinely appointed sacrifice, a divinely appointed lamb. And Jesus Christ is our divinely appointed lamb. He said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Other foundation can no man lay. There's none other name under heaven given among men. I tell you, my friends, it's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. When I see the blood. All right, here's the second thing. That's a divinely appointed lamb. Got to be a lamb. Got to be death. Got to be death. Soul of sin is shall die. Somebody's got to die. But the second thing is this. Is one condition affixed to the promise. The promise of deliverance. One condition. God didn't say when you do this or when you do that. He said when I see it. When I see it. Brother man, I don't understand all these things. You don't have to. Thank God. I know Israel believed God. They acted in faith. They put the blood on the door. They didn't understand everything that God was showing them and doing. You think they did? Moses says when God passes through here at night, folks, midnight, folks are going to die. Now put the blood on the door. I don't imagine any of them understood how that blood was going to effectually deliver their son, but they believed it. Because God said, well, not when you see it, when I see the blood. You see, Christ's sacrifice was not to us anyway. It was to God. It wasn't to satisfy you. I hear somebody say, well, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I ain't got nothing to do with it. It's God satisfied with him. That's the whole thing. When I see the blood. When I see the blood. When God sees the blood. When he sees the blood of Christ, he sees our sins put away. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's right. When he sees the blood, he sees an atonement. It's the blood that maketh atonement. When he sees the blood, he sees satisfaction. God is satisfied. He is sanctified with one offering forever, them that are sanctified. Perfected them. So that's what God, when God sees the blood, he sees a reason to let you go. There's no other reason. If the blood's not there and he looks at you, he can't see any reason to turn you loose. He can't see any reason to set you free. He can't see any reason to forgive you if there's no blood there. I don't care if the basketball goal is there. I don't care if you have done wonderful works for the children. I don't care if you have done all these things. Still, that just adds to your condemnation because you're trying to appease God with filthy rags. You're waving your filthy rags in his face and say, these be my atonement. No, he can't pass you by. If he sees the blood, he will, because the blood maketh atonement. He sees a reason. He sees a reason. My son died. Christ died. Who is he that condemned? Christ died. You boys and girls see that? There's a reason why God... You say, your gospel doesn't make sense. It's the only one that does. It's the only one that does. God has a reason to be just and justifier. God has a right to pass you by. Because somebody's already died. And that somebody is able to die for a whole lot of folks. So that's the only condition. I don't understand. I don't either. That makes all of us in the same boat. I don't have to. I believe God. I believe God. I'm beginning to understand a few things, but I just see through a glass dimly. Or thirdly, here's the certainty of deliverance. He said, when I see the blood, I will. I will pass over you. There's nobody who can guarantee you salvation but God. There's no one who can guarantee. I hear these preachers say, you come down here and shake my hand, accept Jesus. I guarantee you God will save you. You can't do that, my friend. But he can. And I'll tell you, I love the guarantees of God. I love the shalls and the wills of God. He said, all that my Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold, and they shall never perish. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will, God said. I will. And he did. Because everything he wills, he does. Everything he wills, he does. I will. This is it now. I may never preach again, but I'm preaching this morning. I may never get hold of any liberty to make the way clear again, but it's being made clear this morning. It's the blood. When I see the blood, put it on the door now. And when I see it, you don't even have to see it. You don't have to go to the Holy Land. You don't have to find the cross. All you have to do is believe. I will. Now watch this. The fourth thing, it's not your work. It's not the Spirit's work. It's the Savior's work that delivers us. It's the blood. You know, Spurgeon said this. Listen, I wrote this down verbatim. It's like I read it. He said, I preach to myself today when I preach to you. I often find myself like this. I pray that the Holy Spirit will abide in my heart and give me a greater knowledge of the Word of God. I pray that the Holy Spirit will cleanse my heart from pride, cleanse my heart from evil thoughts, cleanse my heart from sin, make me more like Christ. And then I find myself disappointed because these things are not done like I want them to be done. And I'm disappointed. I'm filled with fears. And I'm filled with doubts. And I ask the reason. Why do I fear and why do I doubt? And the answer comes, I've been looking to the Spirit's work and not to the Savior's work. I've been looking within myself and not without to Him. It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. It is the blood that cleanses from all sin. It's the blood that delivers men from the wrath of God. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Don't put your works on the door, and don't put the Holy Ghost on the door where Christ is supposed to be. We must have nothing and no one as the basis of our hope except the blood of Christ. For we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. That's where it is. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. May God simplify our message and make it plain and keep you and this preacher, as long as he lets us have breath,
at the very foot of the cross of the Son of God, where his blood was shed for the remission of our sins. I hope you grow in grace. I hope I do. I hope we learn more about the Word of God. I hope you do and I do.
I hope our lives adorn the doctrine of God our Savior, and I hope we walk in this life more like Christ.
But it hadn't got one single thing to do with the redemption of my soul. Not a thing. I was just as saved back there when I first saw the blood of the Lamb as I am right now. Not one thing added. Nothing I've ever done made God love me, and nothing I'll ever do will increase that love.
He loved me in Christ and saved me by his blood. And that's it.